you so much. That, oh, man, I laugh. I hope you recorded it right. Awesome. Let me tell you, all this talented people, thank you so much. That was awesome. Glory to God. And we get little things like that every Sunday. I don't know. Wow. Kind of scary, isn't it? All right. Glory to God. God is so good. Pastor George was under the weather a little bit, and he asked me to share this Sunday, and I'll get to, I went to the Lord, and I asked him, Lord, what do you want to bring to our people? And so I got a message for you, and the Lord just always brings it here first, right? And then to you, and I just pray that it will transform and change you and bless you this morning. So, Father, we thank you so much for your presence and your word and your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that you give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Lord, help us to be transformed. Help us to understand. And help us, Lord, to be the best that you created us to be, Lord, with your help. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And, Father, we pray a special blessing to all those that put that beautiful skit today, Lord. I pray you bless them and reward them for their time, because I know it takes time and practice and all, so many things, Lord. So bless them, Father, in a special way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 5. I pray that you have a Bible that you study and you read and all that. It's good to have the phone, but I'm here. You know, how many of you know that China is going to start developing Bibles now and doing Bibles and all that? And just be careful. Just get you a good New King James Version, the one we use. We tease, we say that's the one Jesus wrote. No, not really, but it is good to have a Bible in your hand, okay? How many of you know that once they start doing that printing, the so-called Bible, that it's not going to be the truth, right? Coming. It's going to be mixed. And eventually it's going to come to your hands, right? And to your children and your children's children. This is the time that we need to get the foundation, a good Bible, right? That you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so it's okay to use your phone, right? It's all right, but have a good one at home, right? A real, you know, save it, cherish it, Lord, because you never know if it comes a time where you're not even going to allow to have one of those. Amen? And we don't want deception, and we don't want confusion, right? So again, it's okay to use your phone as long as, but know that somebody can tap it and change the word, and we don't want that, right? Okay, chapter 5, 1. Let me read it quickly here. And it say, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. By the way, this sheep gate, is in the book of Nehemiah, where it says specifically how it was built at the time. So it's a real one. And these lay a great multitude of sick people. Oh, I'm sorry. Bethesda means the house of mercy, or the house where two waters collide, because it used to be two pools instead of one. I mean, just a little background, what it was. But right around this pool, in this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, or whatever disease he had. So they were healed or made well. But you have to be the first one when that water started moving around, right? Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the waters stir up, but while I'm coming, another step down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And the day was the Sabbath. All right, we're going to stop there a little bit. All right, so you know this, you see the scenario. Now, this man has been there for 38 years. That's a long time. Waiting for those waters to be moved. Waiting to get healed. Waiting, right? I mean, he is just constantly waiting, living with this condition, right? And in this situation. The master comes in and he asks him a question. Do you want to be made well? You will think that the first thing on that man would have been what? Yes. Yes. Or maybe, duh, I'm here for 38 years, right? No, yes, right. But instead, look what he answers, all right? He looks back and say, answer seven, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Does that not be too hard on this man for this answer? Because we tend to do the same to the Lord. The question, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get out of where you are? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be changed? Do you want your circumstance to be different? Is the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord asking you, do you want to, right? That's what the Spirit of the Lord is asking us. Do you want to be well? We can turn and say, but you don't understand how I was raised. Lord, you don't know the mother I have, the father I have, the husband I have, the children I have, the boss that I have. Lord, you don't understand. I have to be this way because. And we fill out all kinds of excuses, and not excuses because it could be valid. Amen? But you see, this is the master asking us, the healer, our savior, the spirit of the Lord. Do you want to be well? Do you want to? You want to get out of this? So, yes, we probably were raised all these things, all this example. Probably so. I've been rejected. I've been pushed down. I've been, yes, and all that is real. I'm not want to demeanor that because that's what forms on, isn't it? But there's a difference, a big difference, when the master wants to touch you and heal you. And so when he steps in, the Spirit of the Lord wants to heal you, and the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to your heart and wants to tell you, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to stay where you are. I can help you. I can heal you. And so at that moment, we need to have it more than ever. And look what Jesus turned and say, pick up your mat and walk. Just pick it up. You see, we get comfortable with our mat, don't we? It's the thing that gives us comfort. After a while, our pain, our hurt, our rejection, our discontent, our emptiness become our mat. This is where I lay. This is who I am. This is where I'm living. And so we lay on it. We lay on bitterness. We lay on unforgiveness. We lay on all kinds of stuff. And the Lord is saying, pick it up and walk. Don't allow that to keep you down. Don't allow you to put you in this prison where everything has to do with that. It gets better. It doesn't stop there. He wakes up. He gets up. He picks up the mat. I'm going to walk with this mat now. Let me see. Take it. You know, the Lord could have said, just get up and go. Who cares about the mat? Are we going to see why? sometimes the Lord's tell us, just take it with you. Now, this time it's not for you to lay on it, but you're going to take it. Because it's going to empower you. Amen? 10. The Jews therefore say to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. He who made me well is telling me to walk. That means I'm going to change. That means I'm not going to be there laying down there. Because the one that had the power to set me free is giving me some directions and I'm doing it. Amen? Glory. Then they ask him, who is this man who say to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more. Less, if you got your Bible, you write on it, it's okay. Underline it. Less a worse thing come upon you. All right? So here's Jesus healing. Set him free. Walk on. Take out your mat. Just go. Later on, Jesus is looking for him in the temple. Saw him and say, I told you you're going to be whole. I told you you're going to be made whole. You be made well. But sin no more. Sin no more. Lest a worse sin come upon you. Okay, let me tell you a principle here. The Lord is the one who delivers us. Amen? He set us free. He heals our body. He gives us this peace. We come broken to him because we're all broken. And we see the light and he comes. We live a life separated from God and then we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We come through him and we get life. And he starts delivering us. And he starts healing us. And he starts blessing us. Amen? Sometimes we are in addiction. Addict. And we want to be set free. And the power of God comes. And he set us free from that addiction. Right? Maybe it was strong addiction. I don't know. Drugs, crack, whatever. And we come out. And we sin no more because by the power of God, and we know hundreds of people that comes out and by the power of God, it's, they set, deliver, they're out. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen? There's deliverance. And then they left the heart and core drugs or whatever. But little by little, because of the addictive behavior maybe, the flesh, right? Then we start tamping, maybe I can have a drink. It's okay. It's not that hard. It's not that bad. And so we start drinking. And then we get a social drink. Then we get two social drink. And then pretty soon, we need it. See what I'm saying? There's some doors that are being opened there. God deliver you from that. And before you know it, it's a slope. And guess what? You don't even think you're doing anything wrong. Oh, but the enemy does. And he's setting you up. Oh, is he setting you up? Little by little. I just need one. I have control. I just need two. I'll be okay. And all of a sudden, your personality is completely distorted. You're different. And everybody around you notice that you're not yourself except what? Except you. Like Jesus said to the man, beware. Go and sin no more. And beware that something worse will not happen to you. Right? And we can, I just give an example. On drugs and drinking, because it's the social sin, right? But it, with everything, everything that God has healed you and delivered you and set you free. Do not open the door. Let me tell you, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And while you are in sin land with him, he kind of like let you go by with things. You know, the Bible say, you know, people are asking God, why does the unrighteous prosper? Right? It seems like the people in the world living really good and all. Why he has you? And the moment you say no to sin and start living for the Lord, literally all hell breaks loose against you. It does. All of a sudden, you're an enemy. Right? So, when Jesus warned the man, be careful, sin not, you're healed, you're walking, you're good, stop sinning. Whatever that, fill the blank. Amen? Don't we know when we are set free from what we've been set free? How about bitterness? How about unforgiveness? How about jealousy? I mean, we can go on and on, right? How about rejection? How about rejection? That's so strong. The demon rejection wants to make you feel like nobody likes you, that you're all alone, which is a big lie. Because if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never alone. He say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? So I am never alone. But the enemy likes to whisper that. Oh, who are your friends? Where are your friends? Who called you today? Did anybody call you? Oh, they only call you when they need you. Have you heard that? Why do you try and try? You're so good. Look what you have done. You've done this, you've done that. But who does anything for you? No one. Nobody is on your side. But that's a lie, right? Because the Lord is with us all the time. I have news for you. When you take that last breath on this earth, and it will happen. It's not if it happened. It will happen unless the rapture takes place. Glory to God. And that's okay. But if the rapture doesn't take place, the chances are you're going to take your last breath one day. And on that last breath, the one that's going to still be with you is going to be the Lord. That's right. And that gave me so much comfort. Comfort. So when I spend time with the Lord, amen, and I see his hand, and I see that he has set me free, I don't need to go back again. The question remains, do you want to be made well? That's the question for this morning. Do you want to be well? And then the other thing is, Jesus told him, take the mat, walk with it. Guess what? Those places where the Lord has set you free and heal you, that's your testimony. You're going to walk with it. It's okay. It's okay. Because then I'm going to say, look what the Lord has done. And when I find somebody going through the same thing that I went or I'm going, I'm going to take that mat and beat them out of I'm going to take the mat and beat them to a pulp. No. That's what we do sometimes. We get so self-righteous, right? Forgetting where we've been. Like, oh, you know, like that religious thing. That was so cool. Religion, right? Religion does that, right? I go to church every Sunday. And I am so good and righteous and perfect. Ew, the world has lost. Forgetting that we were there, right? So you take that. You see, George, Pastor George has gone through all kinds of miracles. I think he's God's favorite. I really think he is. In my house, I think so. You know, I talk to the Lord, you know, like the children. He's your favorite. I know in my house, he is the favorite. So the Lord has done so many miracles since Friday. He just did a miracle, and I have to to testify about that. He wanted to do a barbecue and had a skillet and a handle, and it wasn't that great. And so he had to put it in the oven. So he put the whole skillet in the oven, and it was 400 and something degree, and brings it out. He puts a glove, put it out, and put it on top of the range. And then he was doing other things and all that, and he forgot that the handle is 400 degrees, you know, and he grabbed it. Oh, talking about burn. Burn. Open his hand and I say, oh my goodness, we spray some things. I mean, you can even, it was so red, you can see the bubbles on it. This is this Friday. It was so painful. I had to cut his steak because he said he's going to eat it anyway. I'm going to eat this steak. I'm going to eat it. He needs to kill me. It was the revenge of the cow coming back. Rah. So he's holding it right there when I'm cutting, and then he's eating with his right hand. That was a good thing. The next day is man's work day. You go, man, I got work, man's day. I said, well, they're there to help you out, honey. And I said, you got the right hand good. You can point what to do. Of course, as some of you that knows Pastor George, that would have not been fun, right? Because he had to do it. So anyway, he puts the gloves, and I'll go wake up early in the morning and go. It was painful, very painful. It looked bad, and I went, wow. And so he works and all that. Through his working and all that, he realized it wasn't hurting that much. And he came home, and when he came home, my first question was, how's the hand, right? And he shows me, he say, my Lord, heal me. And it's completely healed. Is completely healed. And I say, why didn't I take a picture of it, of before and after? Because I know I'm going to share this. Nobody's going to believe it. You know, we take pictures of anything, right? A funny-looking lizard going in your yard, and you're taking pictures. Why didn't I take pictures? But anyway, trust us. It was burned. It was bad. And the Lord healed him completely. But through the healing and all that, God gave him a voice. You know that the voice, you know, he almost died of cancer and all those things. But he has a trick. I'm sure you haven't noticed that, but he does. And so the trick is something that helped him to breathe. He had to take a deep breath, you know, even though, because he doesn't have vocal nerves. He needs that. We all need a deep breath. So he has the trach, and when he's working diligently, he needs that extra. He just unplug, breathe through there, and then put it right back. It's a little bit inconvenient that he's used to it, and I am too, right? And if you come here to this church, you get used to it too. See him work and all that. But, you know, one day we start asking the Lord, Lord, you heal his, you're giving him a voice, even though he's not allowed, he doesn't have what it takes. You heal him from this cancer that he only had first 2 weeks, and then they say maybe 2 years. You have restored all that the locust has eaten. How come he still have that trick, right? And you see, the Lord said, you know, it's okay. He can do that. But do you know how many people have come to the Lord because of that trick? He's carrying his mat, isn't he? He's walking out, just like the paralyzed man. He's walking. Just get up and pick up your mat. He's carrying the mat. You know how many people have come? And after a while, after they get a little bit comfortable, the question always comes. We start writing a book, and that's how we started. Never fails, right? Never fail. Everybody he encounters, whether here in the church, counseling, where he works, through the years, what happened to you? Oh, do you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes? Let me tell you about who? My Lord. He's carrying his mat. That's okay. Amen? Now he could have said, you know, I can't breathe that well. I can't do anything. Man, that man make cartwheels around other young people because of God, because he's carrying his man. Which one is your mat? Are you ready to roll it up and carry it? Look what the Lord has done. Right? Now, you're not going to encounter many people, you know, all the people with cancer and that. You know, he brings a lot of hope. Not that he heals anybody, but how many of you know that you get encouraged to hear? If you're sick and you see somebody getting healed by the power of God and you see the miracles of God, right? You see why he's the favorite? I know, Lord. I probably would have been a month with my hand. That's okay. Glory to God. We give God the glory. Hallelujah. And so, again, on the things that the Lord restores you and heals you and equip you and set you free, don't go back. That's the message. Do you want to be whole? Do you want to get healed? You know, that temper that we have, you know, that anger that comes, right, and hurt everybody around you. You spray like Lysol when you get angry. You hurt everyone around you. Isn't time to get well? I think it's time. I think it's time. Lord, I want to be healed. Why do I break in this anger? Why do I use my words as weapons? Why I can't just, and the Lord comes. Conviction comes in. And by the power of God, and I can testify of that, you don't get angry anymore like you used to. You don't tend to spray anybody around you. All of a sudden, when you get angry, you think it twice before you address someone. You see, that's victory. That is peace. I used to suffer from that a long time ago. I would not be a pastor today if God didn't deliver me from it. Or you will be coming here with no heads. And that will not be fun. Like, oh, what happened? Why are your people don't have heads? I have them all in my shell. All of them are there, chopping everybody's head, right? How many of you know the Lord has a sense of humor to call somebody in the ministry that cannot control their anger? Little spitfire firecracker. I used to go to my bathroom, literally. This is funny now, ha-ha, back there it wasn't. But I would literally would go sit down on the floor, close the door, and put my feet on the door so I would not get out. Isn't that awful? Isn't that awful? The Lord is my witness. I'm like, fighting with myself because I am so angry. Right? And guess what? The Lord touched me. Touch me. No. It takes discipline. I don't have to hurt people around me. I don't have to offend. In fact, you know, one of the things through years, and this has been years, all right? It wasn't like years. I do not speak to anyone when I am angry. I know better. I go to the Lord, you know, and I ask, Lord, why is this making me so angry? As I'm shaking like a leaf. Because you see, I have to stay on it. Just like Jesus told the man, you're healed. Don't sin. Or something worse is going to come. You see, that's the thing. When you come out of your sin and God delivers you, right? And you are made whole and you pick it up again, guess what? Not God, Satan is going to bring it back sevenfold. So your condition is going to be what? Worse than it was before. That's a warning. It's a warning. Don't blame God. Don't blame God if you fall back again when you yourself open the door. Is that clear? Let's not go there. The good thing is that when we fail, and sometime, you know, not long ago, I got a glimpse of getting upset, and I thanked the Lord. I got in the car, turned the car on, went home. Thank God, you know, as I'm saying. But I asked the Lord, and then I asked, why am I so upset? And the Lord explained to me, right, that, you know, give me some details. But one of the things is just pride. Ow, your pride, you got hurt. Your pride got hurt. You know, you feel disrespected or whatever, right? And other things, too, that I don't care to share with you. No. It was between me and my Lord. And I ask forgiveness, and it's clear. God is good, right? But you know what? No one got hurt. I didn't offend anybody. Isn't that great? Looking back now, I go, praise God. Right? To this day, the person don't know how mad you made me. But I did ask for prayer. You know, just pray for me. A few people, I say, just pray for me. I'm not in a good place. And that's okay. Right? You've been tempted in those places where you've been weak. Ask somebody, hey, Aaron, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not in a good place. I know the Lord healed me. I know the Lord delivered me. I'm not in a good place. You don't have to go to details. Can you believe? Can you believe? Right? I don't have, you know, for you to pray for me, I don't have to give you all the gusto. Then it's two angry. Then three angry. Because you're my friend and you will got angry too. Do you see how we do this? No. No. That's not how we do it. You ask for prayer, Lord. Help me. Right? Glory to God. Remember this. Philippians 1:6 say, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will, everybody say will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. That means when he started a good work in you, when he delivered you, when he saved you, when he gave you peace, when he got you out of that prison door, when he bring that healing, when he, what, transform your mind and transform you. He who begun a good work will complete it. You're not done. Sorry. George Steak was well done. No, you're not done. You're not done. But guess what? He will complete it. Isn't that exciting? I'm so excited to know that the best is yet to come. And when you fall, listen to this. When you miss the mark, and we all do, immediately, not a month, 2 months, brewing over the bitterness and the grudgingness and the unforgiveness. No, no. As soon as you know, right? You dust yourself out of that mat, you pick it up again, and you go in the name of Jesus by asking him, I'm so sorry, Lord, I mess it. I probably shouldn't, wouldn't. I know this is sin. I know I'm not supposed to do this. I know I'm not supposed to hold on forgiveness. I know, Lord. Lord, just, right? Make it right. And that way, the accuser of the brethren, which is who? Satan, cannot come before the Father and say, ah, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, look. right? The Bible says in the book of Revelation that in that day, God is going to tell the accuser of the brethren to go. He's sending to the lake of fire forever and ever to burn and burn. Isn't that great? And that's the way it says, the accuser of the brethren. Let me tell you, he will be there to accuse you. Don't allow him to do that. Don't let him ambush you. Don't let him lie to you. Immediately, Lord, I am so sorry. Right then, right then. And the words say that the blood of God cleanses us, and we are okay. And the enemy cannot pounce on you. Amen? All right, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord, where's my sweetheart here, Olivia? There's a place in each one of us that the Lord is asking you, do you want to be made well? In other words, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be restored? Are you tired to feeling the way you do? This is the time. Shifting. Don't you like shifting? I do. Pastor George had a Volkswagen that you shift. Oh, I had so much fun with it. Don't have it anymore. But I just love the way it shifts. The Lord is shifting you this morning if you allow him. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, just stay out of it. Don't pick it up. You forgave that person. Don't pick it up. Just let it go. Just let it go. Whatever addiction that you had, whatever things, do not let the enemy ambush you again. Just release it. Just release it this morning. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray. You know where each one of us are. We thank you for the times you have healed us and delivered us. I just feel in the spirit, deep inside there is such an unforgiveness. I'm going to say that again. You are bound because you have not been able to forgive what it was done to you. And Lord, I prayed about your spirit, that you unlock that. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. Give this people, Father, that whoever it is dealing with it, to be able to forgive and relieve. So they can get up from being paralyzed. They're emotionally paralyzed. Where they cannot trust, they cannot love, they cannot give. Lord, unlock them, Lord. Oh, Father, Holy Spirit, that they'll be able to release that and forgive. In the name of Jesus, my Lord, I pray. Father, I bless your people. And I pray it will be a wonderful week. We thank you for the deliverance. We thank you for setting us free. Now help us to stay strong and to stand. And not to fall back. Not to fall back. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's you, that you have this rooted and only you can say, that deep inside there is some unforgiveness. You try, and all that. Maybe you just need a little bit more. We can pray. Olivia's going to be playing this, and I ask you, if you got to leave, you're released to go. Please do it quietly. Let the Spirit of the Lord keep on working. If you feel like you need to stay longer here, you can do it. Right? Let's just allow the presence of the Lord. Because I feel my spirit, God is doing some awesome work on people. So you're dismissed. You have a wonderful, wonderful week. See you Wednesday again here. But if you need a few times with the Lord, just quietly, you know, you can leave and you can stay here or you can come, Pastor George and I, and just saying in every week and pray, or whoever is be praying here. If not, we'll see you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Just allow the Spirit of the Lord to work, please.